Zach, it is week two of the Dingus Madness Tournament.
You know what they say about week two of the Dingus Madness Tournament?
It's week two.
This shit never ends. Go on.
Well, the good news that is that Gavin Newsom has been kicked out of the tournament. People do not think he's a top dingus. And hopefully everybody got practice not voting for him.
Yeah, fuck you, Gavin.
I mean, you're going to throw my trans homies under the bus? I don't forgive.
And I don't forget.
But here, this week two brings us the Dirty 32. And we have some deeply diabolical mashups. Are you ready for some of them?
Please, my body is ready for the matchup.
Okay. Who is more dingusy, Pam Bondi or Nancy Mace? Whoa.
That's a really challenging one.
I know.
Certainly Pam Bondi. Okay. Pam Bondi is bought and paid for by the Trump administration and is currently exercising, there are so many people that are tools of the authoritarian state, right? However, Pam Bondi, I think, is really an MVP, a real team player for this slouch towards the apocalypse.
What about Pete Hegseth v. the Epstein Files?
My boy Pete Hegseth?
I actually am appreciating what the Epstein Files have done for us lately. I mean, I don't like that they exist, and
Liz Lins.
I like that things are coming into the open. Uh-huh. I like that, you know,
kind of a tool of a little bit of fresh air.
It's biblical. It's like what's done in the darkness will be brought to light. That is a biblical reference.
This is the most positive review the Epstein list has ever received.
And I mean,
that's why you tune in each week for this very very posy take on the Epstein list.
You just gotta be positive. No, just kidding. But the Epstein list did bring us Prince Andrew in jail for a little
bit. Did bring me former Prince Andrew's head on a platter.
The Andrew formerly known as Prince.
The wanker. Prince.
As they say,
the wanker.
Formerly known
that,
as
is that
Prince
like
Andrew.
You become unprinced? You become a true or the once in future wanker.
I just didn't know that you could not be a prince anymore. Like I thought that like you if Queen Elizabeth gave birth to you that you were a prince and they're like no, you can't be a prince anymore. It's like if I told my son he was not my son.
And of all the like royals that we would take, I mean, you got to be a real scumbag in order to, you know, win. You've got King Henry VIII wasn't uncrowned in his lifetime, right? Like this is not an institution.
It's a real wanker palooza when you consider the royals. And they're like, we've only jailed like two of them.
And they kept their title, right? And they're like, we will jail. Sometimes King Wenceslaus of the Holy Roman Empire, right, is imprisoned, and yet we're keeping his title.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Bring back the tower. Make the tower great again.
Ooh, there we go.
Bring back the tower.
Mata? Make a tower.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Mataga?
Yeah. What about Sean Duffy versus undecided voters?
I mean, it's going to be, I fucking hate undecided voters. Here's the deal. If you're on that fence, dog, the fence was on fire years ago.
If you're on that fence, he hopes that fence pierces your scrotum.
That
got a little violent.
That sure did. and to all my friends with pierced scrotums, you earned it. You earned it.
What about Dr. Oz v. Josh Hawley?
This sucks.
I know, that's a tough one.
Is it Mehmet Oz or an actual sex pest?
Josh Hawley has not yet been accused of being a sex pest.
Is he not?
No, Josh Hawley's the senator from Missouri.
Oh, you know who I'm getting him confused with?
Away.
I'm getting him confused with
it's so hard to keep
it's Josh
sex
Hawley
pest
and
these
Josh
days.
Hawley and what's the dude from Florida who was to finish, who was not confirmed by the
Marco
Senate?
Rubio?
No, the other weird guy.
Ron DeSantis?
The other weird guy.
How many weird guys from Florida are there?
It's not they Josh Hawley. An actual drug addict. His name is...
You gotta narrow it down.
His name is...
Is it Matt Gaetz?
It's Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz.
I get Josh... Why do I get those two confused? They're nothing alike.
Who can tell white men apart?
I've always...
Creepy white man. RFK versus Nick Shirley.
I mean, by degrees, RFK is a much larger caliber of
sicko. Just because he's been around longer.
Nick Shirley, though, is like...
He's done a lot of damage in his short little weenie life. Little weasel.
Pound for pound. Yeah, if it's a ratio of like times you've shat the bed in your tiny, tiny life. Yeah. I mean, I guess Nick Shirley pound for pound is a bigger scumbag than RFK Jr.
Okay. Last one, Caroline Leavitt versus Marco Rubio.
I'm going to give this one to Marco. We got ours with Caroline, those photos in the New York Magazine spread.
That was Marco. And that was, but they were both in there.
They were
the
both
magazine.
In there, but like Caroline got the,
she got got. And I do feel like, I mean, while she is a mouthpiece of the administration, if we're talking about like the damage done, you know, Marco Rubio's like, hey, a little illegal oil war is great. And you can just see the light slowly dying in his eyes every time he has to come out there and be like,
do you remember when Democrats were telling me how normal he was, like for the appointment,
I remember this.
I was like, oh, well, you know, Marco Rubio's a different kind of a bad guy, right? Do you remember this?
It's just me smoking in the corner. I remember. The problem, I think, is that this is a systemic issue, and it's not like we want to believe that we're here because it's personality driven. But as we see with the system of dinguses, Nuremberg of nincompoops, if you will, that this is, it's not just one guy, it's legion. And then they're all lining up to be part of this power vacuum.
Hello and welcome to Dingus.
Hello. This is
cereal. Hello and welcome to Dingus of the Week.
Wait, I've got one. I can do it. I go.
Okay.
I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Criminal.
I'm Aaron Mankey, and this is Lore.
Phoebe Judge, don't sue me. But maybe Phoebe Judge, if you want to yell at me a little bit.
I'm Aaron Mankey, and this is Lore.
I love my podcast, ladies.
Hello, and welcome to Dingus of the Week, a weekly show where America, we've seen you with no clothes on, and hubba hubba, boing, awooga. I'm Zachary Or. I wrote all that. I wrote that phonetically, boing, which is. I'm Zachary Oren Smith. I write about politics for Iowa's Starting Line, and I'm here with, you know her, you love her, Liz Lenz, the author of the Dingus of the Week newsletter. This podcast is the audio second course, the newsletter's visual feast. Sign up at its new home on patreon.com. That's at patreon.com/Liz Lenz. Wherever you listen, help support the show by going to youtube.com/Dingus of the Week, like and subscribe to the channel there, rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We read those, and when you don't write, we know. Share this episode in a group chat near you, the one you're thinking of, the one that has the very fun group chat with the unhinged name, it will prevent you from being exonerated for your crimes, and become a patron of the Dingus Arts at patreon.com. That's at patreon.com/Liz Lenz.
Do you think people would sign up more if I told them to do it? Do you think people don't want to sign up because a man is telling them, and nobody wants to be told things by a man?
Nah. Have a dingus of your own. Save us a voicemail at memo.fm/dingus. Leave a voicemail and it might just make it onto this very show. Now, Liz, tell us, who's the dingus of the week?
Motherfucking John Roberts. Here's how I got there.
Tell me, on this the week of like Epstein of Prince Andrew's defenestration. How did we get to Chief Justice John Roberts?
He was not defenestrated. Let's use correct terminology.
He wasn't thrown out of a window, but we use it as a metaphor. We use it to
there
like
have
be.
Been so many literal defenestrations. Why would it's, we don't need a metaphorical
in
one?
In newspeak, we use defenestrate to say removed from office. This is.
I don't like that. I only like a literal defenestration. If you're gonna talk defenestration, I want to see.
It's got to be in Prague. You got to be a religious dissident. I won't have it.
I don't accept it. And I make the rules. There's a defenestration court. And it's just me on it. This has gotten out of control.
If I became the president, I would make you the chief justice of my defenestration court.
I'm defenestration czar. I'm like, who gets to be thrown out of the window this week, boys? That's all I've ever wanted. So this week, Prince Andrew, I was like looking at the news and I was like, Prince Andrew went to jail? Jeez it, the fuzz, consequences, like.
What a concept.
Like, consequences. I haven't heard that name in years. You know, it's like, and then the South Korean president got convicted. Imagine a prime minister being convicted for doing an insurrection. Imagine. Dear Lord, I've seen what you've done for others. But like, and it was a week where, I mean, I'm not getting out of control, right? Like, my hopes are not too high. I don't expect to like see Prince Andrew forever locked in the tower, although that is my heart's deepest wish. But the problem is like there are even the lightest amount of consequences is so rare for the rich and the powerful, and to see actual consequences happening is like, you know, oh my God, it's like you're in the cave and you come out and see the sun and you're like, what is this? I've been locked inside for years. Except the thing we've been locked inside is the patriarchy.
Liz is seeing in Technicolor for the first time. You've been in Kansas for so long.
And then I get dropped into Oz.
A land of consequences and the rule of law.
Famously Oz, a land of consequences and the rule of law. But I was like, why do we not have consequences? Like, why am I coveting my neighbor's consequences out here?
I think you're not supposed to do that according to the Bible. You're not supposed to covet the consequences of your neighbor.
It's oxen, which it's fine. I don't covet your oxen. Your neighbor's wife, I don't know. Hard is she say. Hot?
Yeah.
I covet a wife. I want a wife real bad. I covet your wife.
Truly, you do. Yeah, it's deeply uncomfortable. It's deeply uncomfortable.
Like, I don't know. I would have a hot wife.
Will you stop your coveting?
Somebody's hot wife.
Will you stop your loud coveting for 1 second and pass the salad, please, Elizabeth?
I go into Zach's house. I hold his baby and look at his wife. I'm like, covet, covet.
She
covet,
just yeah, covet, that's right. Like covet, a like covet, some covet, like some covet. Strange Pokemon. She just repeats the word covet, like it's her name.
We don't have consequences. Because motherfucking dingus John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, we're in Roberts Court era, also known as hell. And in 2024, there was a Supreme Court case that basically said where so it was July 1st decision. And it was over the case where like Colorado was trying to kick Trump off the ballot because of crimes and, because of insurrections. He's been, convicted of fraud. The Supreme Court was like, hey, can we convict a president of crimes? And they said no. The conservative majority was like, not in my America. Checks and balances, best we can do is checks mix. I think that joke is so funny, and I will not stop.
You will be convicted for it, but
that's right. It is illegal for women to talk, but it is not illegal for your president to do some like crimes. And you know, John Roberts wrote the majority decision. He explained, and I'm reading from the SCOTUS blog, you know, that like they're allowed, right? Like you're allowed to do some crime, but like it's so vague. He doesn't define it. And
like we expect the president to commit some crimes along the way.
Yes.
Like that's okay. Like, no, we expect you to commit some crimes. That's yes. fine. And don't worry about it.
And it's so unfortunate that we did all this work 250 years ago to overthrow a king just to be in the position where actual kings are facing consequences and our presidents are not. And like Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote that, you know, in quote, in every use of official power, the president is now a king above the law. And Ketanji Brown Jackson said that this ruling was basically the practical consequences of the ruling would be a 5-alarm fire that threatens to consume democratic self-governments and the normal operations of our government. And guess what? We're here. Like, that's exactly where we are in America. And we can all thank John Roberts for that little bit of like anti-democratic, because like what the South Korean president did is basically what Donald Trump is trying to do, is like declare martial law, take over. And say in South Korea, he was declaring martial law because he was like, oh, these North Koreans, there's this North Korean faction that's trying to take over. I'm going to declare martial law, shut it down. And you saw Korean lawmakers literally climbing gates and fences to get into the National Assembly so that they could vote this down and say, hell no, not in our watch. And we here in America are having this happen where Donald Trump is like taking over cities, right? Declaring martial law, saying that like, oh, these criminal elements are taking over. And the best Chuck Schumer can do is tweet that, this isn't helping the price of eggs.
Nice work, Chuck.
And nice work. You know, and you're just like, are you kidding me? You know, it's like Jeff Bezos sees this and he's like, hello, sir, would you like a side of money with your crimes? And like, you know, and then we get like a text from the Democrats. It's like, please donate $10 to help us fight this right now. It's like, we're trying everything. Have you tried everything?
Have you tried everything?
Have you tried everything? Speaking of Oz, have we tried getting a little girl from Kansas to dump water on Christine Ohm? Have we tried tipping Mitch McConnell over so that his little leg, so he's like a turtle on his back? He couldn't flip himself over.
Game over. Checkmate. Checkmate, Republicans.
Has anybody tried looking for all the horcruxes keeping Chuck Grassley alive? I mean, just like, I'm just spitballing here. I am just spitballing here, but like.
And more ideas than I've heard from leadership so far.
Send JD Vance a coupon for Joybird. 40% off couches.
Speaking of that 2024 decision, at the end of that year, right?
Yeah.
This was a year that brought us, there were the, you know, the Harlan Crow sugar baby allegations with,
what a time.
With one of our justices. There was a lot of tension over that summer about trying to bring some reforms to judicial ethics, right?
We did none of them.
And we did none of them. And John Roberts ended that year with blasting his critics. I quote, unfortunately, not all actors engage in informed criticism or anything remotely resembling it. Our branch is peculiarly ill-suited to confront this problem because judges typically speak only through their decisions. This was a time
That's a fart noise.
That's a huge...
Uninformed decision criticize your mom. I'm not trying that joke again.
It's a fart noise coming from a court that literally the next year will employ the shadow docket 25 times, more than it's been used in the history of any court, right?
Yeah.
25 times. They say they're going to work it out on the remix. That check me in long form. I'll tell you how I feel about a thing. When they're employing a device like no other court to avoid explaining their decision making as they are abdicating the holding the Trump administration accountable.
Like, I'm an intellectual, and it's fine for our president to do crimes. And you don't understand it because you're not as smart as me.
Yeah.
Like, sir, I've got dead mice in my basement smarter than you.
They're refusing to explain their math, avoiding the kind of normal order of briefing, argument, and then opinion writing the mass firing of civil servants in the state of New York versus Linda McMahon, defunding scientific research in American Public Health Association versus the National Institutes of Health. The use of racial profiling, right, for immigration enforcement in Kristi Noem versus Vasquez Perdomo. If you want to pretend that the thing that you're doing is this very like kind of structured floating brain, we will tell you our politics based on based on what our docket shows, based on what our opinions show. Then you actually have to write those opinions. And you actually have to explain yourself to the public.
And you also need to not be a little bitch.
it only gets worse after Trump versus CASA. This case that changed the way that injunctions work, that no longer are injunctions for more broadly for people impacted by harm. That it's limited just to the plaintiff in question. Which like is a huge, I mean, is
yeah.
a is a tremendous, I mean, like it's a quiet thing. It's something that we don't think about, but has a tremendous impact on how justice is sought in the United States.
Yeah. And all of these decisions, right? Like we have these three branches of government, and one is basically just writing blank checks, or all of them are just writing blank checks for Donald Trump. And then, we've got these Supreme Court justices who are just like, it's fine, everything's fine. And we literally had a president who could have stacked the court, and we could have avoided some of this. And yet here we are. Here we are. Mm-hmm. We're much like affordable healthcare and female presidents. Consequences are now something for other countries to have and not us.
And the idea that it would come come during the administration where, J.D. Vance went to Twitter saying judges aren't allowed to control the executive's legitimate power, right? Like the calls wrecking your power are actually coming from the inside.
We do. That'd be the system of government that we have. That's the check, man.
The court, she says, you can't control the executive's legitimate power. JD, who determines what legitimate power is in these cases? It's the courts. The courts.
Yeah, or Congress could pass a little law. They're not going to be passing a little flirty law.
Not our Democrats.
Not in this America. They're like, best we can do is a text, a fundraising text. I want more consequences. Like I've had that brief experience of seeing a rich, creepy man in jail. And I'm like, let's go. Do you know what? Actually, when I saw Prince Andrew, he's let out. They're still investigating. And the British police say it's like they're not really saying why he was briefly in jail. They're keeping mum. But there is this, there is an ongoing investigation.
They're keeping mum.
Mumsy. But this is part of an ongoing investigation. But like when I saw that, I was like, wow, the princes William and Harry did it. They achieved the American dream. they jailed their creepy uncle. And then I was also like,
I think that was in the Federalist Papers, right?
And it's like, I was like, my God, wouldn't that be amazing? But also I was like, wow, I wonder how Sarah Ferguson feels. And then I went to go read because she's his ex-wife. And then I did some Googling and I found out that Sarah Ferguson is also in the Epstein files because she was sending Epstein fan mail and saying she wished she could marry him. So listen,
yikes.
But like now all her companies are like being shut down for investigations into her roles. So like that, that girl boss gatekeep get in the Epstein files. CEO bullshit, I guess, does not fly in the UK.
Who would have thought?
Got
him. Got him. You know, actually, I found some. This has never been released, but it's like the transcript of some. Did you know that while he's reticent to speak in public, the Chief Justice actually does at the Comedy Cellar do like a weekly set? Did you know this?
John Roberts
does a weekly set at the Comedy Cellar. Did you know this?
I mean, tell me more.
This is me reading directly from the transcript. He says, you know, I get no respect at all. I write a letter defending our independence. And the next morning I get a printed out Truth Social screenshot of the president saying my decisions have a nice ass. I get no respect. I get no respect around here. My wife and I, we went away for a little romance the other day, amidst this political climate. She tells me, baby, you're a hell of a lover, a hell of a lover. And I say, and I say, you mind writing that down for proof? And she says, I think I'll keep that in the shadow docket if it's just you and me.
Can I say something about his bits? Like, not your bits, obviously.
Obviously not. I'm reading a direct transcript.
Yes. So this is not yours.
This is a direct transcript of John Roberts' Comedy Cellar.
Just get to the punchline a little faster.
I got one more. No respect around here. No respect. The other justices, they don't respect me neither. I walk into a conference room the other day and Clarence Thomas is already on the phone with billionaire Harlan Crow. I say, Clarence, we're supposed to deliberate here. And he says, I know, we're on hold.
Wow.
I get no respect. Thank you. You've been a great audience.
I like how all of a sudden John Roberts, who looks like the little weasel in your AP government class, who was like, actually, I think, you know, women applying for permits to birth babies so that we can only have intelligent children in the world, like, is now transformed in your imagination
into Rodney Dangerfield. Have I been looking for an excuse to do my bad Rodney Dangerfield impersonation on this podcast? Perhaps.
Was this the vehicle? I don't know.
Perhaps.
We report, you decide is the motto.
The no spin zone. report, you decide.
Zach, I have to tell you something about a runner-up dingus, though.
Oh, what do you got?
So last night, I was in bed eating Taco Bell.
Really? Ooh, sultry. Turn the light down.
How do you?
I was sitting there applying fire sauce to a cheesy gordita crunch supreme,
spicy ranch. I got a crunch ranch supreme, a chalupa, and a little soft taco just in case I need a little snack later. Oh,
pick me up.
Yeah.
And something to take the edge off.
Something. It's just me smoking a soft taco.
Doritos Locos Tacos.
God, Taco Bell is so good. But it was my little reward for doing taxes. And I was like, lost in the world of QuickBooks while the Olympics is going on. And then I'm like, okay, I'll take my little weed gummy. And I took my little weed gummy. It started to kick in. And I was like, it's time for bed. And then I made the mistake of checking social media right before going off into sleep. And I opened up social media and on every app, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads. Yeah, I'm on Threads.
Fucking libs.
Wow, real sicko. It's fun over there. It is wild over there. But
it's like you and Kara Swisher alone talking to one another.
Hey, Kara, what up, girl? Not now.
Is that your Kara Swisher?
She's just like, not now, Liz. so on every single platform, people had tagged me in a story about a mayor of Butler, Ohio. His name is Wesley Dingus. And this man is known to me, actually. He is known to me because I put him in the newsletter a couple years ago when he hit a man with his car 4 times and said it was an accident.
No way.
Yeah, the man...
He hit him 4 times and said it was an act.
It was
a man named Dingus?
A man named Dingus hit another man 4 times with his car and said it was an accident. The man... that he believed the man to be a fleeing fugitive.
He ran into my car 4 times. It was just the jailhouse tango. This is great.
So, yes, it is. He had it coming. Except men are not allowed to sing that song.
Oops.
Sorry, Wesley. Equality for me, not for thee. And but he's in the news again because imagine it.
What did he do?
Oh God, it's actually not a great story. He is he's in jail for voyeurism. But what happened was a person caught him on camera sneaking into a teen girl's room, seems as if it was a relative, and like sniffing her underwear. And
oh, that's so awful.
I know. And there's more. I won't go into it right now, but
I was having such a fun time with that time he almost committed homicide. Now that fun is ruined
it's
forever.
Bad, but it's also like, this is what happens. This is like nominative determinism. You know, it's like we got a mayor named Dingus and he's a dingus. Who could have seen this coming? You know, it's like I hired this babysitter named Neglecty McGee and my kids not got neglected.
Can I say what? if we're calling this a character name, I actually think this man is undeserved based on sniffing a teen's underwear. I think he's undeserving of the title of Dingus. And much in the way that the royal titles are being revoked, I think we need to revoke his last name. I think, like, we need to take Dingus away from him. He doesn't deserve. He doesn't deserve that moniker.
Yeah, I think it's just straight up pedophile. I don't think it's Wesley pedophile. But I also had to, like, I'm waiting for a text from the editor because then I had to open up. So many people tagged me in this and I was like, well, I guess I have to add a little like paragraph in the newsletter about Mayor Dingus. But I was high. I was already a little bit high.
On cheesy Gordita Supreme fumes.
On Crunchwrap Supreme and a little wee gummy fumes. And so I wrote some jokes about it in the newsletter, and they are about what you would expect. A level of intelligence that you have come to know and love from Highland.
I mean,
but
you gotta read a smattering. You gotta read a smattering.
I'll say, people, if you want to see the whole thing, go to the newsletter. But I did try to call him the Lord of the Dings, like the Lord of the Rings.
Liz.
Dingtator. I said nominative dingus terminism. No.
You know,
Liz,
Lord of the Dings is really powerful. so powerful. It might be time to take a break.
And we're back. So,
that's my line.
And we're back. No, I'm so excited.
And we're back.
So, we record this podcast in my home. And today there is a snow day. There's a snow day. Both of my children are in this house currently. And my 14-year-old daughter made us chocolate muffins. Okay, she didn't make them for us, but she's allowing
us to eat
them.
She made them specifically for this show. This is the official Dingus of the Week endorsement based on...
But she's a swimmer and loves to swim, swims all the time. She's our little athlete. And she made made the chocolate muffins from the Summer Olympics. Like, if you remember the viral chocolate muffins from the Summer Olympics, she heard about them and has been trying to recreate them in our home. And I gotta say, this is why you let your children grow up. Well, I guess I haven't eaten the muffin yet. She I can still murder her. Okay, hold on.
Let me get that bite.
Oh my gosh. Good. This is why
that's pretty powerful.
People talk shit about teens, but like, she literally woke me up the other night because she had been making muffins, and she woke me up at like 10:30 and just like, "Mom, take a little bite of a chocolate muffin." Okay. I'm sorry. What? Wake me up to be like, have a little bit of chocolate and go back to bed.
Damn, dude.
My God.
Liz.
My kids are the best.
Do you want to play a game? Do you want to take a, because I want to play a game of Dingus Says What. I've prepared for you three court cases. I went to the cellar of the Supreme Court. I looked at the fine vintages of bad decisions. There was, of course, Plessy v. Ferguson. There were others. And among them, I found that 2010 was a vintage year for bad decisions.
Oh, really?
A vintage year for bad decisions. So I've pulled three decisions from the docket.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them real, one of them fake. Do you know what a crush video is?
A crush video?
I'm really sorry to bring this to you, but do you know what a crush video is?
No.
A crush video is a snuff film, but for small animals.
Oh, no.
Really terrible. In this brave 2010 decision, Chief Justice John Roberts said, yes, crush videos are repugnant, but the law was written too broadly. And then that sicko Alito added on the opinion that these crush videos should enjoy obscenity protections. Because he's a real sicko, a real sick guy.
What?
That crush videos free speech and they should enjoy obscenity protection. So that's one.
Wild that you think that a crush video is free speech. Wow.
Pretty bad. Case two. In 2010, a utility worker sued after being fired for refusing to work on a high voltage line. He claimed his religious beliefs were violated, going up and working on that power line was tempting God.
My religious beliefs also preclude being electrocuted.
Yeah. The court ruled 6-3 that religious accommodations don't extend to safety critical jobs. And so get up on that wire, boy.
Serious? No, that can't be right.
And then number two, due to this 2010 case, we live in a hellscape where billionaire oligarchs buy up politicians and have them duke it out. Some justices said unlimited dark money would undermine the, quote, integrity of our system. The majority said, nah, money's free speech.
I think the dark money one is correct.
Oh, you think that one's real?
Yeah.
You think that one's real? That we live in I'm reading this out of the case. We live in a hellscape where billionaire oligarchs buy our politics. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. I think that that's exactly how most people define America.
Yeah,
a hellscape where billionaires buy our politics.
That's interesting.
The proof is in the pudding. Looks around, eyeball emoji. So I think that one's real. God, the electrocution one. That's really funny, though. Like, my religion says I can't be electrocuted.
It's a religious exemption for a safety critical position.
My religion says everybody has to love me and tell me I'm pretty and give me chocolate muffins.
My religion says you have to call me really pretty and give me nice baked things. You have to kiss me on the cheek before I go, but while you tuck me into bed. My religion says, Daddy, my religion says.
So, I don't think a video where you murder somebody is not free speech. And I think a video of murdering a pet cannot, because it's not like I'm like AI generating this video. Like, these videos would actually be happening. So I'm filming a crime. Filming a crime doesn't seem to be a free speech act in the sense that like it exempts you from the consequences of doing that crime. I'm going to go with that one being the fake one.
I am so sorry
Are
to tell you.
You kidding me?
I am so sorry to tell you that the electrocution one was the one I made up.
Wow.
Yeah. Crush videos. That is, Alito says that should be protected. That should be, it should enjoy obscenity protections.
I'm going to film me punching him in the face. No, I'm not. That's a joke and that's hypothetical.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Crush videos exist.
Wow.
Yeah. Real bummer. Good. And on that light note, Liz, what's causing you joy? How are you digging yourself out of the miasma, the like mire of crush videos this week?
I love a little animal. I love a little animal. This makes me really, really sad. So excuse me while I still process this. Yeah. But the God damn,
yeah, it
sucks.
It sucks.
That's sucks.
You chose the Supreme Court.
Oh, wow. Wow. America. And this goes back to what we were saying last week, like conservatives with their violence towards animals.
Yeah.
Like it's like real serial killer sicko shit.
Yeah. And Alito's a sick fuck.
And Alito's like,
Alito's
what
a
if
sick
we,
fuck.
What if we protect it? So the thing that's been bringing me joy is I was thinking this week about, so we're talking, there's a lot of food in the conversation because of RFK and everything. And my son, when he was turned 2, became a picky eater. Oh. And I did all the things that you're supposed to, right? Like it was like they eat what I ate. No mm-hmm. special foods. I didn't have a ton of like high sugar content, you know, ultra processed stuff in the house. Like I was a real snob about it. And then right when he was 18 months too, my son started like just stopped eating. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get him to eat anything. And it wasn't like a medical issue. Sometimes it's a medical issue.
Right.
And people would be like, he won't starve himself.
Right.
He was starving himself. He was falling off the growth chart. And I had to get him monitored because when babies slip off the growth chart, like that could be a sign of severe illness or abuse. So it was not like a great time in my parenting. I had like a 4-year-old and then this little toddler who was really trying to off himself.
Yeah.
And this was like the same time when he would like strip naked and run into the street. And my daughter would be like, Mommy, Bubba runned away again. And I'm like running out the door. And this is a kid who would like, I found him like crawled inside the dishwasher wielding a knife once. When your baby gets to be this age, I am really good at disarming toddlers.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Sorry. I got to call my specialist. My toddler disarming specialist.
If you're listening, what you do is you kind of sneak up behind them and you squeeze their fist. Because you can't reach for the knife, you might get stabbed. But if you squeeze their fist, they'll drop the knife.
Do what Mark Ruffalo did and like slam their fist against the counter a couple of times.
Okay, don't do that.
Mark squeeze did it.
Squeeze their little chubby fist and be like, baby, drop that knife.
Sexy Mark Ruffalo did it. I can do it.
This kid, he's the kid who like ate a cigarette butt at the park. This kid
for a laugh. I mean, it was for a laugh.
It was a good bit. When I would take him to a preschool, I'd have to pat down his pockets because he was like sticking silverware in his pockets. Like they're these like little plastic knives. I got these like little Montessori plastic knives so they could learn to cook with me to like combat the picky eating thing. And he wouldn't use the knife in the kitchen, but he would put it in his pocket and try to bring it to school. Anyway, this kid, in the past couple years, we've started watching Guy Fieri shows together.
Okay.
My daughter's at swim all the time. We needed a show to watch together. And he had been watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with his Triple D, as the Flavortown residents call it. And so he'd been watching that at his dad's house. And then he was like, oh, there are these other shows we could watch. So we started watching Guy's Grocery Games and Tournament of Champions. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about watching Guy Fieri love food that I think two things happened in the past couple of years. One, he stopped being a picky eater.
Interesting.
And is now like eating everything. And you could say, oh, that's just puberty. Like don't give to Guy Fieri what, you know, you can ascribe to puberty. But there is like, but the thing about like Guy Fieri is like he is able to he's able to kind of cross that political divide. Mm-hmm. So he's one of the few things that, like, if that I have in my home that their dad will also allow in his house, because he's like really conservative, really like Trump loving kind of guy. And because of my kids' love of Guy Fieri, like, they have been going to Guy Fieri restaurants, like, with their dad, who's really not like cool. a foodie, but like, because they all kind of love it, they're like, oh, let's try these new like places. And then it's like the same thing's happening at my house, where it's like, we've been watching all these shows, and Guy Fieri just loves food. Mm-hmm. He's not mean about it at all. He's such a fan of chefs and people, and his shows, you know, there's room for criticism there, because, you know, he does kind of talk about food, like exotic food, as like the other, and it is kind of like diners, drive-ins and dives is like kind of like colonial and like a white man discovering, you know, this food of America. But he's such a huge fan of food, and he loves everybody, and his shows are really diverse. And in Tournament of Champions, like, women win the show constantly, which you don't see in other cooking shows. And so I've just been really enjoying Guy Fieri, and like, people shit on him constantly. Like, there's all these, you know, condescending reviews about him in the New York Times, but like, you're just like, he's just a guy who loves food, and we're hating on him because he looks like he was electrocuted by Ed Harvey. Like, I mean, let him be. Like, he wears gold chains, okay. But he just seems like a really nice guy who loves food. And he's actually out there doing like a whole bunch of good stuff. You might say, do we know his politics? No, I don't want to know. But I know he's out there donating to like a bunch of good causes.
That's right.
and like aggressively donating, mm-hmm. not, you know, not just this like, oh, I'll throw a little bit for a tax write off. But like, you know, during COVID, sure, did he criticize people for, you know, earning unemployment? Yeah. But did he also raise like millions of dollars to help restaurants like struggle through Tournament of Champions? Like, so many of the winnings, like, he was donating to restaurants that the chefs would pick, like, and they're just like, and Guy Fieri's generosity is so renowned in his area that that like people talk about it, and like, and so I wrote this essay about loving Guy Fieri, and I even had other people like get into my DMs to say that, like, you know, they worked at a restaurant that was featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, mm-hmm. and they were like, nice guy, nothing bad to say about him. So, right. Guy Fieri, thank you. Thank you for being a guy who loves food.
I love that bit of joy.
That's what's bringing me joy. My son finally eating after 12 years. So tip to get your baby to eat is just die on the inside, give him chicken nuggets,
and then introduce him to the Ferrari universe,
and then introduce him to the extended Flavortown universe,
the Ferrero Rocher of culinary television.
That joke does not make sense.
Tell
me what's bringing you joy. End this joke bit immediately.
I'm so glad you asked about what's causing me joy, Liz.
Yes.
I have been, last week, my wife and I went to go see the Emerald Fennel Wuthering Heights.
I want to see it.
It's totally worth seeing.
Yeah.
It's totally worth seeing. I was in a theater that was absolutely frothing at the mouth about this flick.
Was it just horny women?
Just horny as there was like a row of like of folks that were like in tears, like were screaming and in tears behind. Truly a great experience. But the thing that's causing me joy right now, and I do recommend folks, I do recommend
women
you who decide to watch
horny for Jacob Elordi.
Incredible. It's
that's
the ring. It's the, if you haven't seen the earring, if you haven't seen
joy.
The earring, the thing that is causing me joy right now is Emerald Fennel's ability to just spike the discourse. You remember I remember this with the first time I was really, I tuned in for like the conversation around one of her flicks was for Saltburn.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And what you remember, a great movie.
Everyone and their mother like took to the internet to, because they just had to release their pitch, their idea, their thought.
I saw that movie alone. Oh, I was weeping.
That's a flip. That's a good one for groups.
Yeah.
Wuthering Heights, watch it alone. You'll get what I mean. Saltburn, that's a group flick. Emerald Fennell has like my wife makes fun of me. I can't get hot takes of Wuthering Heights off my phone. It doesn't matter what search terms I go after. I always end up just like in the discourse averse about Emerald Fennell's Wuthering Heights.
So a couple things is like, I love the Brontes so much.
You might hate this flick.
No. But I don't do that. Like, okay, I'm not cool. Like the book and the movie are just, they're separate universes.
Yeah, totally.
I really, unless the book in the movie is Possession by A.S. Byatt, and then you make that awful, 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 horrible, like, adaptation of this beautiful mm-hmm. book, and I'll never forgive that. But beyond that, like, I'm so excited. I literally named one of my kids a Bronte-related name.
Oh, that's really cute. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And, I love it. And I can't wait to see people be horny on the moors.
It's
horny on the moors.
They are, in fact, very horny on the moors quite a bit. And I'm
like, take me away, make it weird and wild, because those books are weird and wild. And I'm not gonna, like, I saw some review that was like, this is like a high school girl's version of the Brontes as a love story. I was like, first of all,
guess who read The Wuthering Heights in high school? What's
also,
up?
Like, also, first of all, don't be rude to high school girls, because one just made us delicious muffins. And
truly.
She could have, she's also strong.
Put
enough.
Some respect on that name.
She could kill us right now. She's so strong. Living with a teen girl is like living with a large wolf. It's like, you're like, you're only alive because every day they wake up and choose not to kill you.
What wolves are making you chocolate muffins, Liz? I ask you.
Poops. But like, it's like a living with a teen girl is like living with a wild animal. It's like, in that sense, it's like you wake up every day knowing that you're only here because she hasn't murdered you yet. And if should she take you out, you would deserve it. But put some respect on those teen girls' names. But I can't wait to see it.
It's a blast. I mentioned that you may hate it if you've read the book, is because every anti-take begins with like, I read The Wuthering Heights and Emerald Fennell.
Like, we all did.
I actually have not read this book. I famously do not read. Got to keep that. Got to keep
He's
up.
He's a man of the people.
I got to keep up my appearances.
Year, most Americans did not read maybe more than one book.
And I read negative books. I actually burnt. I joined.
Zach actually got dumber, and it counts against Americans' literacy. He's literally bringing the literacy rate down.
I put my brain to the microwave so you didn't have to.
And we can tell.
It's a blast. Such a good time with this movie. You should really go see it.
I cannot wait.
Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/LizLens is the home of Dingus of the Week, a Mignel at Me Media production. Love or hate what you heard today, help us keep it coming all year long. Here's what you can do to help. 1, like and subscribe to our YouTube. That's at youtube.com/Dingus of the Week. 2, rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. 3, share this episode with a friend. Post it in the group chat. 4, and last, become a patron at $5 a month, and you can help this show keep rolling. We'd love to have you have a dingus of your own, someone you want us to talk shit about. Go online, record a short message at memo.fm/dingus.
Zach.
Yes, Liz.
Thank you so much for being the producer of this show, for co-host. No thank you for your Guy Fieri Fiero Rocher joke.
Guy Still Ferrari.
Not, nope.
Guyfer.
Stop.
Tune in next time, and you might hear.
I'm going to beat you for that. I hated it.
After watching The Wuthering Heights, I'm fine with it.
Thank you. He's also horny for Jacob Elordi. Truly. Who isn't?
It's the ring. Have you seen the ring?
I'm going to lick it off his face. Wow.
It's on his ear. Okay.
Okay.
Throw some water on it.
All right. So thank you to Zach for being the producer of this show and the lovely co-host, despite the jokes. Thank you to our newsletter editor who keeps us informed of how many justices are actually on the Supreme Court.
Turns out 14.
Not enough, as it turns out. And thank you so much for Alora Benitez for creating our little song.
Is that you?
Play us out. Play us out, Johnny.